Chapter 3. Atlantic Aviation Service Operations, Midway International Airport, Chicago, Illinois. 1425 hours to September 2005.
There's a guy walking toward us, Tom, Castillo said as he tripped the stair door lever in the Gulfstream 3.
I saw him.
Looks like an Irish cop. You want to deal with him?
McGuire gave Castillo the finger, then pushed himself off the couch on which he'd ridden, slept, from Baltimore, and walked to the door. The man, a stocky six-footer with a full head of red hair, came up the stair as soon as it was in place.
I'm Captain O'Day,
he announced, as if supremely confident that no one could possibly mistake him for, say, an airline captain or anything but what he was, a Chicago cop.
I'm looking for Colonel Costello.
Castillo came back into the cabin from the cockpit and was putting on his green beret.
Well, you weren't hard to find, O'Day said. God, you've got more medals than Patton.
Castillo shook his hand. It's Castillo, Captain.
Sorry. You don't look like a Castillo.
I'm in disguise. Say hello to another Texican. Tom McGuire of the Secret Service.
If you're... whatever he said, McGuire, then I'm a...
Irish cop, Castillo said innocently.
He's a real wise ass, isn't he?
O'Day asked, smiling.
And he's barely warmed up, McGuire said.
People are waiting for you. How many are going?
Five, McGuire said.
I knew that. That's why I call for another car, O'Day said.
He gestured for everyone to get off the Gulfstream. There were two cars, both solid black and brand new, and looking like any other new Ford Crown Victoria, except for little badges on the trunk reading Police Interceptor and, just visible behind the grill, blue and red lights.
You can ride in front with me, Colonel, O'Day said. I guess you're senior.
Actually, Captain, the skinny guy's a full colonel, Castillo said. But only in the Air Force, so that doesn't count.
Go to hell, Costello, Taurine said.
O'Day took a cellular telephone from his shirt pocket, pushed an autodial key, then after a moment said,
On the way. There's five of them, maybe 20 minutes.
He pressed the end key and put the phone back in his shirt pocket.
How far is police headquarters? Castillo asked several minutes later.
Why?
Isn't that where we're going?
No, it isn't,
O'Day said, and changed the subject.
I'll forget what you tell me in 30 seconds, but what's the real chances of getting young Byron Timmons back from those bastards, and not hooked on something?
You heard about that, huh?
His father and I go back a long way, O'Day said. He showed me Junior's letters. A good kid. I shouldn't have said that. Young Byron's a good man.
All I can tell you is that we're going to try like hell, Castillo said. With a little luck?
Yeah, I get the picture, O'Day said. I was afraid of that. Thanks.
A few minutes later, Castillo realized they were not headed downtown. Instead, they were moving through a residential area, and he guessed from that they were going to the Timmons home. Proof seemed to come several minutes after that when they turned one more corner and then stopped before a simple brick house on a side street. There was a police patrol car parked half up on the sidewalk and three more cars, unmarked but rather obviously police cars, parked in the driveway beside the house.
Here we are. I don't envy you, Colonel.
Castillo got out of the car and waited for the second car, which was carrying McGuire, Munce, and Lorimer. He wordlessly indicated that he and Lorimer would follow Captain O'Day up to the door, and the others were to follow. Before the door chimes finished playing Home Sweet Home, the door was opened by a gray-haired, plump, middle-aged woman wearing a cotton dress and a pink sweater. She looked at Castillo, and then at Lorimer.
You're Eddie, she said. I've seen your pictures.
Yes, ma'am,
Lorimer said.
Is it okay if I kiss you?
Yes, ma'am.
She hugged and kissed him.
Honey, she called. Junior's buddy Eddie is here.
A large man in the uniform of a police captain walked up to them and put out his hand.
I'm Junior's, Byron's, dad.
Yes, sir, I know, Lorimer said. I've seen your pictures, too.
Captain Byron Timmons, Sr., looked at Castillo.
Sir, Lorimer said, this is Colonel Castillo.
Timmons crushed Castillo's hand in his massive hand.
Colonel, I can't tell you how happy I am to see you, he said. The president told the mayor that if anybody can get my son back from those bastards, you're him.
I'm going to try very hard, sir, Castillo said. Well, just don't stand there in the door, Mrs. Timmons said. Come in and meet the others. There's coffee and cake.
Captain Timmons took Castillo's arm in a firm grasp and led him through a short corridor to a living room. There were two women there, who looked like Mrs. Timmons, and half a dozen men, two in police uniform and four in casual clothes, who, Castillo decided, might as well have had policemen painted on their foreheads.
This is Colonel Castillo, Captain Timmons announced. The man the president says can get Junior back. The lieutenant is Eddie Lorimer, Junior's pal down there in Paraguay. I don't know who the others are. Colonel, what about identifying the others, and then I'll introduce everybody?
Yes, sir, Castillo said.
This is Colonel Jake Torrine, U.S. Air Force. That's Tom McGuire.
They've got their own Gulfstream airplane, Captain O'Day furnished.
I wondered how they got here so quick, one of the cops said.
Tom McGuire, Castillo went on, who's a supervisory special agent of the Secret Service, and this gentleman is Colonel Alfredo Munz, who, before his retirement, was chief of CIDE in Argentina. CIDE is sort of our CIA and FBI rolled into one. Munz now works with us.
I thought Junior was in Paraguay, one of the cops said.
Paraguay and Argentina share a border, sir, Castillo said.
Okay, now it's my turn, Captain Timmons said,
motioning for Castillo to follow him to the people sitting on a couch, two matching armchairs, and two chairs obviously borrowed from the dining room.
This is Captain Retired Frank Timmons, Junior's grandfather, known as Big Frank. And I'm the goddamned fool, Colonel. God forgive me, who told Junior to go federal.
Castillo shook Big Frank's hand, then Lorimer and McGuire and Munz followed suit.
And this is Sergeant Charlie Mulroney, Junior's sister Ellen's husband. That's her, over there. Charlie works narcotics on the job.
Castillo shook Mulroney's hand, then smiled and nodded at Mrs. Mulroney across the room.
And this is Stan Wiskowski of the DEA, Charlie's pal.
And I'm the guy who got Junior in the DEA, Colonel.
Castillo shook Wiskowski's hand.
Wiskowski, I admire your balls for being here. That has to be tough.
And this is the mayor, Captain Timmons said.
Jesus H. Christ, I thought he was another cop relative.
The president speaks very highly of you, Colonel, the mayor said as he shook Castillo's hand. I'm happy to meet you, and that you are here.
An honor, sir, Castillo said. I'm sorry I have to be here under these circumstances.
Well, Colonel, I've always found the way to deal with a problem is get it out in the open and then start working on it.
Yes, sir, Castillo said.
And this, Captain Timmons said, moving to the third man on the couch, is...
Castillo shook that man's hand, but his name, or those of the others, failed to register in his memory. His mind was busy thinking of something else.
The mayor, who the president has made perfectly clear is to get whatever he wants from me, is not just doing a friend of the family a favor. He's part of this family.